Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Our God created a universe so vast that even the most powerful telescopes cannot see the end of it. Moreover, He so methodically structured it that no microscopes can see the orderly arrays of its smallest building blocks. Yet this awesome, powerful, and wise God has a fatherly love for each one of us, and He desires a personal and intimate relationship with every individual. Reach out to Him today. Please open your Bible to Psalm 104 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
Thankfulness means a lot to God. You know that? It means a lot to God. He does provide for us, doesn't He? And it doesn't have to be much. The Bible says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox where there's hatred. It's just learning to appreciate the little things that we have. Having little in the Lord is much, isn't it? When the vertical is right, the horizontal is filled with appreciation and thanksgiving and awe. The older that you get, you realize more and more how awesome our God is. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, verse 16. The cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fine trees, the fir trees, pardon me, that's the pine trees, are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats or the ibex. You see them when you go there to Israel. And the rocks for the conies or the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. The sun knows when to set. Now, I'm sure that there's a scientific law for this, but it's because God does it. God does it. On the fourth day, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, many of you know this, that ancient Israel based and still bases its calendar on the cycles of the moon. And they mark the beginning of each month at the new moon, which occurs every 29 and a half days. That results in a 354-day annual calendar, 11 days shorter than the solar calendar. And that's why the months in Israel's calendar does not align with the Gregorian or modern calendar. God appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows his going down. You make, or you bring, or you send darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the field do creep forth or prowl about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. That's amazing. You ever seen a lion prey? God feeds them. Amazing. Do you guys like watching like National Geographic? National Geographic Wild? The big cats? It's so exciting. But anyways, how awesome God is. How true His word is. It is at night that all the beasts of the forest do creep forth, and the jungle comes alive with action. The Bible says the young lions roar after their prey, how they stalk the night forest seeking for food, just like the Bible says. But once again, notice what appears to be purely natural, lions seeking their prey, is actually an act of God. God even commands the animal kingdom. Every kingdom, God commands. Amen. The sun arises. They, that is the lions, gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. They return to their dens and they go to sleep. And then in verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the Industrial Revolution. Until the evening. God has even ordained a wonderful ordered rhythm. O Lord, verse 24, how manifold or countless are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The works of our Lord are just countless. Just countless. And he made them all in wisdom. God's word says that his creation is a display of his existence and greatness. In Psalm 8 and in Psalm 19, the heavens preach to mankind every single day. High above all other kings and kingdoms, God's throne is in the heavens, and the earth is just but one of a vast array of creations. Just think of all of the solar systems. Just think of that. God created them. You read about them throughout the scriptures. The constellations. Fascinating. A God so vast, speaking this universe into existence. And yet, the tiniest creature or molecule. How awesome is our God? You know, when I read Psalms like this, it kind of like awakens me to notice more than I, unfortunately, may overlook. It's that time of the year now. Little flowers are starting to come up again, right? Or I'll be walking out of the house and you'll start to see the little ant colonies, or you'll see, and I'm thinking, wow. Now my neighbors must think that I need help, and I do. Because I'll just see these things and I'll just get down there and go, look, man, that is just amazing. That is awesome. Then the grandkids just go, Papa, what are you doing? Look at that ant colony. Yeah? Look at that. Look at what God has wrought. And everything, creation becomes a teaching point, right? Everything. You can just preach the gospel by sharing about creation. The wonders of creation. The vast array of living creatures in the sky, in the sea, and on land. Just think of the genius of God. Just think of the genius of God. Think of a zebra. Who thought of that? Right? Here's a giraffe. Well, it needs a little longer neck. Platypus? You look at a kangaroo, you know. Amazing, simply amazing. And God thought this all up. And we were talking today about when the Lord sets up his kingdom on earth and things are like they were, without, you know, not quite as like they were before there was sin, but, you know, the lion's going to lie down with the lamb. You're going to be able to walk up to the king of the jungle and just pull on their beard. Hey, how are you? Now, when I think of that, I go, well, no, God. So this problem that I'm dealing with, I'm concerned because I can't figure it out. But he can. He can. I love Psalm 40, verse 5. It says, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God declares that his thoughts towards you and me are more than even the grains of sand. I love it. This awesome, mighty, powerful, wise God has a fatherly love for you and me that is greater than we can ever imagine. So is this great and wide sea, verse 25, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts, just like on the fifth day of creation. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, a large sea creature, whom thou hast made to play therein. Okay. So here's this huge ocean, and God creates this monster-like creature, and he says, I've created it so you can go play. Now, does that bless you? And you know what this creature did? It went and it played. And we've written all kinds of stories about this creature. Some interesting thing. Don't bore yourself looking at all of the things about Leviathan that people say. This just amazed me that God has all of these creatures that we're just starting to discover. Now, sometimes the National Geographic programs, they'll send those cameras down to the bottom of the ocean, and you go, now we're finding these things out. They've been there for a long, long time. God put them there. I just love it when the science community discovers things. No, you're just finding out what God has made, what God has declared. Now, it's interesting how all of these sea creatures are doing the exact same things today that God formed them to do when they were created. Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, beautiful woman. And one of the times when my wife went out to one of the pastors' conferences out in California, she was able to have a few minutes with Elizabeth Elliot, and just a beautiful woman. And she once said this, quote, a clam glorifies God better than humans do because the clam is functioning the way it was created to be, whereas we are not. That's why we need a new birth, to begin to function the way we were created to be. Notice verse 27. These wait all upon thee. All of creation depends upon God, that you mayest give them their meat in due season. The whole of creation must recognize that it did not come into existence by itself, and it cannot maintain existence by itself. This planet is totally dependent upon God for its sustenance and for its existence, and that includes me and you. That thou givest them, they gather. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. What a generous God we have, right? Isn't he generous? He fills us with good. You hide your face, but if you turn away from them, they are troubled. They panic. They're terrified. You take away their breath. They die and return to their dust. And that's what happens. The Bible says it is appointed that the man wants to die. And that's it. And when God recalls that spirit, the human being, bodily, is dead. But then they go either to heaven to be with the Lord, or to hell forever. Verse 30. Thou, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Again, the breath of every living thing depends upon God's spirit. Remember in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Remember after Jesus rose again from the dead, he's in the upper room with the apostles, and the Bible says in the Gospel of John, and he breathed upon them and he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit, and they were born again. You see, God's Spirit not only regenerates hearts. You and I are here, not because of something that we've done, but because of what God has done to us. We have been born of the Spirit. It's like God spoke into your soul, and he says, let there be life. And you're raised from spiritual deadness. You come alive. And you see things you never saw before. You hear things you never heard before. You begin to desire things that you never desired before. And you begin to dislike things that once you loved. He gives you a new heart. He breathes into you. There's life. But he also renews the face of the earth. That's one of the beautiful things I like about springtime. You see things coming to life that have been dormant all winter. They're starting to come up again. No, I'm sure that there's a biological, scientific reason, but it's because God did it. God set it into place. He's the source of all life, spiritual and biological. And I love verse 31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Amen. And the Lord shall rejoice in his works. When we get to heaven, saints, Revelation 5, 12 and 13 says that we are going to cry with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Start learning the lyrics. I don't think there's going to be overheads in heaven. That's what we're going to be declaring throughout all eternity. He looks upon the earth, verse 32, and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. It reminds us of Exodus 19, verse 18. That Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And then verses 33 through 35. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. One Hebrew scholar translated it like this. I will sing praise to my God to my very last breath. Notice I will. I will. I am going to. I'm determined to. I am going to sing unto my Lord. I'm going to sing praise to my God. Psalm 145 verses 1 through 3 says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and great to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Unsearchable. I love when Paul is anointed by the Holy Spirit and he has just blown the minds of theologians, Romans 9, Romans 10, Romans 11, the sovereignty of God, human responsibility, God's plan for the nation of Israel. And I love what he says in verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And then, Paul, after he gives all of this theology, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're never going to understand it. You're never going to figure it all out. But the God who knows it all and creates it all just says, trust me. Trust me. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Biblical meditation, filling your heart, filling your mind with the things of the Lord. Not emptying yourself. I will be glad in the Lord. Sometimes you just have to tell yourself. You ever have a bad day? You don't even know why. Just get up and you're in a bad mood. Nothing's even happened. Well, why am I in a bad mood? I haven't spoken to a soul yet. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be glad in the Lord. I'm just going to be glad in the Lord. That's it. Don't try to unglad me. I'm going to be glad in the Lord. It's probably not even a word, is it? But you know what I mean, right? I will be glad in the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I'm going to be glad in the Lord. And you know, that's contagious, isn't it? Isn't it? When you're around people that are just purposed to be glad in the Lord, and don't think that the people that are glad in the Lord doesn't mean that things are not going on in their life. They're glad in the Lord despite the things that are going on in their life. How could Paul talk about rejoicing in the Lord always when he was shipwrecked, beaten, bloodied, nearly stoned to death? He's in a prison. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Because our only source of joy, real joy, can come from Him. Last verse for tonight. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Sinners and the wicked are those who reject God's gracious rule, reject God's Son. They live in rebellion, and they will be those who on judgment day will be on His left, to whom He will say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Praise ye the Lord, or hallelujah. The great Jehovah who creates and sustains the universe is also the one, and I'll close with this, who became a man, born of a virgin, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. That whosoever here tonight and whosoever watching online would repent of their sin and trust in Him that is the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. You see, the Bible is a book all about God. And as wonderful as the redemption of man is, the main theme of the Scripture is the Redeemer of man. And if you're here tonight, or if you're watching online, and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And if you will trust in Christ tonight, if you will repent of your sin and call upon His name, the Bible says you can be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if that's you here tonight, we'd love to pray with you. If that's you watching online, you can call the church office and we would love to pray with you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is June 15th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.